This is Aaron and Ash. You're listening to Path into Product, a show for students and professionals considering product management as a career. We interview actual product professionals and share their insights and tips for getting into the rewarding career that is product management.
Thanks for being with us today. We've got Billy Gast, Group Product Manager at Homey. He's bringing 9 years of product experience with him, and we look forward to hearing some of that experience and hearing your path into product. Welcome, Billy.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So we're going to dig a little bit into your path into product, and I know you sort of transitioned from a technical background into product, but before we get too far into that sort of journey or story, we like to give our listeners sort of a little definition of what product management is. So kind of give us your general philosophy and how you would define what is product management.
Before we hear Billy's answer, we need to hear from our sponsors.
Well, what is product management? For me, product management, for one, I feel like it's different in every different company, but the overall theme of product management throughout them all is to help teams come to the decision to do the right thing at the right time for our customers that meet the needs of the business and the customer at the same time of what we're doing. And the product manager brings everyone together to establish that.
That's awesome. And sort of, you said you bring everyone together. So who is included in everyone that a product manager needs to bring together?
You know, I think it really depends where you're at. Some places have a lot of big sales departments. Some have big marketing departments, compliance with legal. You work with a lot of those different stakeholders, but your key group is really the engineering group and the design group that you're bringing together. And then informing stakeholders and working with stakeholders to make sure everyone's in alignment. So there's a lot of alignment going on with all those different groups within the company. So really in product, you kind of have your fingers in every different group with it, and you're always working with them to make sure that everyone's aligned and you're meeting their needs as well as the customer's needs.
Yeah, thank you. So, you know, you're kind of working across all of those different functions within a business. And I'm sort of curious, right now you've got the title of Group Product Manager. And I'm not totally sure how to ask this question, but help us understand, what is a group product manager and how does that fit within like the product organization as a whole, especially as you sit cross-functionally?
So I think as teams scale and they get a little bit larger and they have multiple product managers on it, the level of a group product manager is twofold. The first one is help develop those product managers to become better at their skill and their craft so they can you know, have a good career going that further. The second one is a little bit to shield the product managers from a lot of the political noise that's going on with the upper level stakeholders to work with it. So to work with them to get alignment so that they're not always distracting product managers from their discovery tasks that they're working on. I'd really want the product managers that I'm managing to focus on discovery and doing those right things. And then I can help influence from above with those other stakeholders to say, hey, this is the direction, the priority that we want to do, without them being constantly bombarded with meetings from everyone who has an idea and everything like that. We can somewhat vet some of those and do that kind of political alignment at the group level, while at the same time providing the training for them to become better as product managers.
So, Billy, this is just fun for our listeners to hear, I think, is to hear some of the daily things that you deal with. Now, I'm super curious about what are some of the political issues that you are shielding teams from? What are you shielding the product managers from? And why does that matter to shield them from those things?
So without getting into very many specifics of what it is, I like to call it kind of the shiny object syndrome, where sometimes you'll have a lot of the stakeholders and there's a lot of very smart people in every company, and smart people tend to not think in problems. They think in solutions. And so they'll come to you with a specific solution or a new business line or something that they want to go on to that might not be strategically right for the company at that time. So you really want to work with them to help dig down to the why. And then if it meets with the direction that we're going, then bring the product managers in and say, hey, we've discovered this thing we want you to kind of start discovering with onto it. But if they're constantly being bombarded by upper level management, the upper level management has this sort of clout when you're down to a individual contributor on a product team that can weigh really heavy on them to say a C-level executive or someone in upper management comes to them and says, hey, we really need you to do this. They don't feel like sometimes they have that pushback ability to say, well, we don't really want to. And so dealing with that and saying, hey, I think that's a good idea. Let's talk about it a little bit more and kind of work on that kind of a discussion on that is really where group product managers can help out onto that. So there's just a lot of, this sounds like a good idea, or I thought of this last night. What do you think? It's just having those kind of conversations that mm-hmm. won't distract the individual contributors on the teams.
Yeah. So just looking at it a little bit now, I'm curious about how you came to this point of being a group product manager, but you know, all the journey before that, and help us know what that journey looked like and what the experience was as you tried to figure out product management and whatever your path was coming up.
Yeah, so product management is this interesting career that's hard to explain what it is to people who aren't actually in it. It's this very glamorous career that I think a lot of people really want to get into. And I always recommend everyone to sit down with a product manager and talk to them about what their day-to-day is. There's a very glamorous showing of product management, but then there's also a very stressful day-to-day of it when you're trying to just herd cats sometimes is really what it feels like sometimes. But for me and my journey into product management, it started off when I was a developer, and this was years ago before it was really product management was like a coined phrase. There's a lot of different words and multiple time. And I was at a smaller company. I started off my career as a developer in engineering and kind of went to engineering management. And then I got involved in a smaller company where we were doing a lot of consulting work with SAP and big CRM implementations and things like that. And so as a developer, my job was to go on site with customers, talk with them, meet with their needs, and then develop solutions that would meet their needs in these workflows for these specific things. And I found that I really enjoyed that. Well, I did enjoy developing. That's actually where I found the joy in was meeting with them, understanding their needs, and then building something that would help meet those needs for them. So as that company grew, we decided to stop doing these kind of customization pieces as much and build more OEM products that we would own in-house. So as we grew with that, we grew the development staff, and it kind of grew into somebody just, it was too much of a job to be a developer and managing all this and meeting with customers and making sure we're building the right things within it. So I just kind of naturally fell into that role. Now at the time, it was just a role I was filling because it was a small company and product managers wear lots of hats, and it was kind of that hat was given to me and I ran with it. As the career started to grow, product management became what it was actually ended up being called and working into where you're really focused onto this. And then from there, that company, I moved on from that company and went to a defined product manager role where there was a lot more systems put in place that really helped me prepare and grow into it. And then from there, I've moved on to several different places. And the one thing I always say about moving on to different places, moving into group, a lot of these positions that I've had since are based on community and based on knowing a lot of people and really sharing your experience and growing together. Because the best thing you can do as a product manager is always be continually learning and then sharing your learnings across to everyone else and building that kind of personal brand as a product manager and just sharing that all across. So so it was an interesting journey from development with a computer science degree into that. I never had the plan to go into product management, but it just kind of became a natural fit. So for me, it was a transition within company. And I think that's how a lot of people sometimes get into product, especially if you're in development. We were smaller, so I didn't have anyone to work with, but I've worked with developers who have come into product management. And what they've really done is they focus on working with that product manager to understand what it is and build that kind of curiosity and knowledge of what product does. And then when an opening pops up, you come to mind because you've been working with them, you've expressed that curiosity into it, and you've shown that you have those kind of skills with it. But it's also great because there's the technical product manager role, which having a good technical background is suits you really, really well for onto that.
Yeah. So I'm curious because, you know, you were developing, you were coding, you were, you know, in the lines of code, and then you just kind of started doing these things, meeting with the customers, and you said there wasn't really anybody there who had done product. It wasn't really a defined thing. So how did you like discover that you should be talking with people, or how did you start to discover these things called product management? And when did you put that label of, oh, what I'm doing is product management. This isn't actually just coding or Scrum Master stuff. It's product.
Yeah. So for me, it was just a natural progression. That's what we needed to do. And it sounded pretty obvious that that's how you would build for custom solutions. At least you'd have to meet with the customers, understand what their needs were, and then build those solutions onto it with it. What really transitioned me to say, actually, I am a product manager and that's what I've been doing is when I read Marty Kagan's book, right? So when I first read Inspired, I'm like, wow, this is what I really want to be doing. I'm not doing all of it right now, but this is what I know is going to work onto it. And so I remember being at that company and saying, hey, this book is awesome because it was recommended to me, and trying to like proselytize, if not that book, across that whole smaller company. And it got to the point where they're like, oh, that's Billy's book again that he's talking about, kind of into it, because there's so many good things into it in that book. So, you know, a lot of people call that kind of the Bible of product management. I think there's a lot of good things within that that I'd always recommend anyone to read and understand within that. So that's where I started saying, you know what, this product manager role is basically what I'm doing at this point.
I want to take us back a little bit to what you mentioned earlier. And if we can just talk about this difference. So often product managers work directly with engineering managers and user experience designers or product designers in the discovery, mm-hmm. and finding out customer problems and learning about the jobs that need to be done. I'm so curious about your journey here, because as an engineering manager, you could still speak to customers. You could still listen and hear their problems and help solve solutions. So why the switch to product management? Like, what was it that kind of helped you define the difference there?
For me, I think it just became into a personality type thing where I was just drawn into that. And I really worked well in the highly political environment of a product manager, right? Engineering managers kind of sometimes avoid a lot of that politicalness with stakeholders involved. And I was always kind of thrust into that. And so I felt like in those relationships, working on that is where I excelled a little bit more at. But I guess it is kind of a toss up with it. Technically, engineering managers are kind of managing people and managing like architecture and things like that onto it. The tech leads and individual contributors are very much involved in discovery and everything like that. Now, I could have seen myself coming into a tech lead role. But for me personally, it seemed like a very hard challenge to keep my technical skills on par as well as my product skills that I was excelling at. And so I kind of chose between the two. I think it's hard to be a very, very, very good engineer and a good product manager at the same time, because it takes a lot of time to keep those skills up there. And so that's kind of where I made the switch onto that. But the one caveat I would give anyone who's moving into product from engineering is you need to know the line of you're not the engineering tech lead and you're not the engineering manager. And I think that can be where it's like a sticking point, where if you have a very highly technical product manager, you can get some friction between you and the technical lead a little bit when they feel like you're kind of dictating architecture or you're dictating things based on your experience. Well, although you want to work together, you want to give them the space to say that you're actually the valued one, where I'm the one that you're going to you into it, but I can have an intelligent conversation. We can talk about it and have it, but I'm going to defer to you for any kind of feasibility or technical architecture or anything like that onto there. So that's the one caution I give anyone coming from a highly technical background into product, is to just remember that boundary and remember that there's somebody in your, if you're set up in the system that I really like, the triad system with the design and engineering and product, that your role is different than the engineering manager. And you don't want to kind of step that bound a little bit too much, because it can be a little bit of a landmine. And if you get in a bad situation with an engineering or a tech lead onto there, the team's just not going to work. You have to have a very good, solid triad for product management to really excel.
Yeah, and I'm curious on that. If you've had an experience coming from a technical background as a product person where maybe you did step over that line, and what happened in that experience and what did you learn from that?
So I've had several experiences where I felt like the architecture wasn't allowing us to do what we really wanted to do as product. And sometimes I think I pushed a little too far onto that narrative, right? Where I feel like we should go to this new architecture that's really going to enable some of these things that we want to do. And when product comes in and starts saying that, the walls immediately come up and say, no, we chose this for a reason. And it starts to build those walls in between. And once those walls are built, the finger pointing starts. It's hard to get out of that defensive mode with it. And I think I've gotten into that situation a few times in my career. And that's really helped me learn when somebody came back, or like even a group product manager or a VP of product or someone like that came in and said, hey, you just need to like back off a little bit onto this and try to influence in different ways. Because to be honest with you, one of the biggest skills in product is to help people think that an idea that you want to do was their own idea, so that they can move forward with it and bring them along on the vision. Because the worst thing you do is be dictating what everyone's doing, and then it just doesn't work out. So working with engineering to start to maybe poke a little bit of holes to help them see if there's a different way to do something is a better way to approach it, rather than saying, you know, I did it this way before, so I think you guys should do it this way because I was once an engineer. Like saying that I was once an engineer and you should listen to me is not always the best approach when approaching that.
It sounds like a good way to not have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm curious to know as well. I mean, you did come from this technical background. Maybe you've stepped over that line a couple times, but whenever I talk to folks who are on the outside of product looking in and they're trying to find their path and they don't come from a technical background, they always ask me, do I need to learn to code? Like how deep should I go in there? So I'm curious to know, you've been through that path of going the technical route. What advice would you give to those folks who don't have that technical background but are trying to get into software?
Hear Billy's response to this question and many more great insights right after this word from our sponsors.
I would always suggest you take a basic coding class so you have the knowledge of it. And that can be even HTML or CSS or Python, Ruby. It could be anything that you really want to do that's pretty basic level onto it. Because I think grasping a firm understanding of programming concepts such as APIs, web services, all those kind of things that you're going to be talking about in these discovery sessions, so that you're not just zoned out onto it and just focused on the business needs, and you can meet the needs with engineering and have an intelligent conversation with them. So that you have problems when you don't have any technical knowledge, because sometimes engineering can just kind of overrun you with this stuff and you feel lost on it and you can't have a good pushback. Because in a healthy triad, there's pushback on everything, right? Engineering will push back on designs with visibility. Product will push back on designs and engineering with timelines or value or different things that we're coming back with it. So if a product manager doesn't have a basic understanding of UX, a basic understanding of programming, it's hard to have those tough conversations and those pushback conversations between the different groups. So I would never say don't understand tech, because if you're getting into product management, you're getting into a technical environment. So you need to understand the basic concepts of it. So like a 101 class is what you should at least have underneath your belt to understand those kind of things. But again, it depends on the product. That's the thing about product management. There's different product managers and different pieces of it. I think you could be like a growth product manager and not have such a great technical ability. But if you're going to be a technical product manager, you need to have a deep technical understanding, because your stakeholders and your users are developers. So if you're a tech holder, like if you're a technical product manager developing APIs and you don't have a technical knowledge, you're going to get lost and you're not going to have any credit or clout with your actual users, because you can't have a good conversation with them.
So let's talk about that for just a minute, because I think this is one of the first times on the podcast that we've really heard this term technical product manager. Mm-hmm. And so if you could like help us understand what is a technical product manager, what they do, because I think there might be some listeners who, you know, are looking at this, seeing a technical product manager role, seeing a product manager role, and maybe feeling more inclined one to the other. What's happening in the technical product manager role?
So before you even start, I just want to ask as well, like some nuance between growth product manager also, right? So, I mean, we talked about getting into product management, but you're introducing this idea of, well, there's technical ones and there's growth ones. And what is a technical one? What's a growth one? What's the nuance between some of these specializations?
So it's really weird because there's different skill sets sometimes that you want for a different specific position that you're trying to work with onto there. Now, I'm more familiar with technical product managers. Growth, we have some of them, but I haven't been experienced with it in a lot. From my understanding, really, with growth is focused on growing customer bases and then monetizing those before it. So how am I going to grow my customer base? The fastest way, by providing some value, but I really want to expand my customer base with different things and different promotions and have a lot of different tools with it. Whereas like a technical product manager is typically working on APIs, working on sets for developers. So if I have a product out there that also has a stream of integrations or a marketplace for developers or something like that onto it, sometimes you might not necessarily have a UX designer on that team because you're developing a set of APIs and developer tools for developers to go in and integrate to your product and work with it. So your users are developers or are very highly technical. So they're going to expect a certain amount of things from a API set or a developer set that you're putting out, a toolkit or an API onto that. And so those product managers really need to understand that. So when they're doing customer interviews, when they're doing these surveys, when they're doing these different things to understand their customers, they have to have a good conversation to them to understand if you're making an API, you got to understand what an API is. You got to understand the flow. You got to understand uptime. You got to understand all these different things that you're dealing with when you're going through with them onto that. So there's just a lot of different ones. I don't know that there's a, which I wish there were, right, was a list of this skills for this product manager. Sometimes I think people will put out job postings for they're not getting the right PMs that they want. And so they'll change the name of it to say, you know, mm-hmm. I want somebody who thinks growth. And so they're mm-hmm. going to go into growth. Technical is typically one who's always in internal tools or a API set piece working with it onto there.
Mm-hmm. Go
ahead.
I want to push back here a little bit just to kind of dive in a bit. So what is the difference between a tech lead then and a technical product manager? Because it kind of sounds like they do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So help us know what the product manager is doing, the technical product manager is doing different than maybe the tech lead or the engineering manager.
So it's still the same thing in the triad because the technical product manager is focused on value and viability for that specific piece of it, right? So I want to make sure that if I develop out this API set, it's providing value to the company that we're doing and value to the customers, and it's viable in the market, right? So I want to say, if I'm doing these things, I've interviewed enough developers, I've done all my research, I've done competitive analysis, all these different things to make sure that we're building the right thing at the right time for the company. Now, a technical lead in that group is saying, okay, now that I understand what we really want to do, what we want to accomplish, this is how we'll use the technical products we have at hand to build that and say, how can we build that and how can we achieve it? A technical product manager isn't necessarily saying how we can build it. It's saying, these are the problems that our customers are having, our developers are having, and these are the jobs they're trying to do, the goals they're trying to achieve. Let's come together as a triad and with our tech tools, tech lead, what can we make this happen to work with it? UX, how can we build a good developer portal that makes documentation easy and testing easy and all these different things? And then you come together. So while you need more technical skills to have that conversation with your stakeholders and your users, your fundamental job is the same as a product manager because you're responsible for the same things.
Awesome. Thank you so much for clearing that up.
Yeah.
Earlier, you said a lot of things about politics, right? Mm-hmm. And this question's been gnawing on my brain, so I just want to circle around to that. Do product managers need to be politicians?
Yes, I haven't, I mean, it's an easy answer to say yes. In my experience, yes, because there's a couple of different things you need to do as a product manager. And maybe politician isn't the best word for it because there's a lot of negative connotation associated with that.
Mm-hmm, right.
I would maybe say more of like an evangelist for a specific thing where I'm campaigning, I'm going out there and I'm promoting different things while I'm listening to people that I'm representing, you know, in certain things with it. So I'm in essence, that's what a politician should be, where they're representing the people that have elected them, they're listening to them, and they're putting together that voice and drawing that into it. So that's why I say it's very political in that mode. And then once we've made those decisions, I'm campaigning with everyone else to say, this is why we're going this direction. This is the vision. This is where I want to get. This is my slogan, right? The motto for our team, the vision for our team. It's very much political in the core sense of what politicalness is you're campaigning for something, you're bringing everyone along together on a journey and making everyone just align onto that. So while politics has a bad connotation, like office politics and everything like that, when you break it down, you're just trying to get everyone aligned and working through all those things. So it's really a lot of relationship management where you don't want people to feel left out. You want them to understand that while you're not doing what they think is most important, there's a reason why, and this is why, and this is what it's going to do for you and the company. So that's why I would say that the politicalness does exist within it.
Yeah, it's definitely that the relationships across different functions and evangelizing, but also listening to different groups and hearing those requests and influencing through persuasion and data and those sorts of things rather than through authority. It's certainly political in that sense for sure. But yeah, that was a great answer. So Billy for president 2024, right?
No way. No, thank you. It's not for me.
Billy, I also want to go back to something you mentioned earlier, because I thought this was a really interesting comment. You talked about being at this startup company, getting into the product management role, and then you said that you went to a new role that was more a defined product management role. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that? And what was the difference that you saw? Just to help our listeners kind of understand the expectation of what might happen at different companies.
Yeah. So typically sometimes at smaller companies, you wear a lot more hats than you would at a larger company with a defined product manager set, with a defined like product kata that they're following or discovery kind of methodology that they're following. So at smaller companies, you have a lot more freedom to explore, do some of the discovery and all these different aspects of it and just making things happen. It's really like a make things happen where there might not be as many artifacts, but you're a tighter knit team working on a lot of different things. There aren't as many stakeholders to necessarily worry about. And you're moving a lot faster and moving things. As you go to a larger company with more of a set product manager role that has defined like SDLC or has a defined artifacts that need to come out of your discovery. If you're doing like discovery briefs or you're doing PRDs, you're writing up a lot of these documents, you're going through different levels of approval to get a lot of things onto it. So there's a lot more bureaucracy and red tape, I would say, in some of these larger companies, and they're for a reason, right? As I met other companies that are scaling, and when you go from a small company to a large company, you kind of hate the red tape. You hate the bureaucracy. But then when you go to a company that's scaling, you know, I find myself having conversations even now saying, wow, I really didn't like that when I was an individual contributor. But now that I'm like managing things, I'm like, now I understand why that was there and why I'm trying to implement the things I personally didn't like sometimes, because now I actually understand the reasoning behind it. So I'm finding now that as a manager, if I can better explain the why behind things, it might help the contributors to say, yes, I know you don't like filling out this status report, but if you don't and somebody asks me something, I'm going to have no idea, you know, what to answer, and I'm going to push them right to you. And that might not be a conversation you want to have. So there's a little bit of give and take on that. So that's what I'd say. When you go into a role that's defined, there's usually steps and processes that you follow to do things onto it. Now you can veer from that. You can influence outside of that a little bit, but day one, you know what's expected of what you're trying to do going through it. Going into a company where it's not defined, that those first days and those first weeks and first months are complicated because you're trying to find your own way through things onto it.
Yeah, that's a helpful picture to paint. So yeah, we really appreciate that. I have one last question for me, and I don't know if Ash has any more, but one for me is, I mean, we've talked a wide gamut of, so many variety of things, right? Technical versus growth product managers, and what's a group product manager, and do you have to be political? And we've covered a wide gamut of things, but I'm curious how you would respond to why should someone choose product management as a career?
Because they're a masochist. That's, okay. I mean, that's a joke answer, but there are days where that's how it feels, right? And so I always tell everyone, product management is a very stressful like situation, and some people thrive under that, and others don't. So when you're going into it, it's a fun and rewarding career is what I'd say. But you have to understand that you're involved with a lot of different people with a lot of different, the politicalness of it can wear on you, right? There's always a fire, and I've never been at a company, even if the company's doing great, where there isn't a fire of something that you're specifically working on with it. I thrive in that. So I personally thrive in that, where it's just an environment that's fast paced that I'm going and I enjoy, but at the same time, I can be done and disassociate myself and go do what I like to do on my own time with it onto there. So you have to have a good, healthy work-life balance, I think, as a product manager. And that's what I've found, but it's just a rewarding career. Seeing when you fix something for customers or you innovated in a space, solving a problem in a unique way with your team, and seeing how that affects the company going through it. There's no greater like reward than that, than going and doing a customer interview after the fact. And they're like, I can't believe you solved this. Like, I can't believe you did this. That's what's rewarding for me. Now, it's not saying every time it happens. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, wow, this is horrible. Then you go back and you test it again and you go through it. But just that whole process of going through it is what I enjoy and what I thrive in. So if you enjoy that, you enjoy testing and you enjoy learning, you enjoy fast pacedness and just working in that kind of environment, product management is really a great position for you. And if you're looking for growing in doing eventually your own startup or something like that, it really kind of puts you to the fire to understand what, as running out your own company in the future, would be understanding that it's a fire. There's a lot of fires, and you got to start to learn to prioritize the fires and which ones are really fires, which ones you can let burn, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So even if you're looking to get into a start your own business, product management is a good way to say, am I preparing my life to what that stress is going to involve eventually, with having a little bit of a stable career before I go full deep into that. So, a lot of answers in there kind of to think about, but for me, that's why I like product management.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. It is a lot of times about like that entrepreneurship with training wheels almost, right? Have somebody else pay you as you practice being an entrepreneur is certainly great. And sort of the message I got out of your response is, yeah, it's challenging. It's very challenging. It's a very challenging career and skill set that you're called upon to go and employ. But at the same time, the reward is so worth it as you work through those challenges and you find that you can actually solve those problems. It is very rewarding and exactly. Satisfactory that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We recently had Nate Barrett on the podcast, and what was really helpful to have him describe is how he sees up and coming product managers getting into product management and what some of the paths are from his kind of platform that he's on and he can see. I'm super curious as a group product manager who's maybe hiring product managers, training product managers, what are some of the pieces of advice that you would give to somebody trying to get into product management that they can look to and go, oh, I can do that, or I can start trying that thing, whatever it is.
I would say really just start developing up that product mindset, because I think like a resume will get you a little bit in the door But for product managers, it's really interviews is where you're going to sell it. And being well-spoken in an interview, understanding what's going on. And the biggest thing is if you're interviewing with companies, is to research that company out, understand their space so you can have an intelligent conversation with them and show them that you're willing to work and solve problems that are in that space, in that industry, right? So if you're interviewing for Homey and you're where I'm at now, and you come in and say, hey, we're in the real estate tech industry, and I noticed this, and I just wanted to ask you guys a question about this, and I was thinking about it, and you start to demonstrate that product mindset in an interview, it's going to start ringing true with product managers. Because in those interviews, product managers can, they hear product manager techniques and things like that used in a conversation, it starts to like move your clout and your notches up and up and up more going into it. So what you're really looking for is somebody who's eager to learn and eager to really make things happen in a space that you're at. And I will take somebody who's extremely eager to do something and really work and understands product mindset on there over somebody who possibly has more experience. But to me, they've been more doing that kind of project management side of product rather than the product owner side of product rather than the discovery side. Because from my experience, a discovery-minded product manager is going to help a company more than a product owner, project manager type mindset of a product manager. So I think there's a big difference in those mindsets that have onto there. So the biggest advice I'd have is gain that product discovery mindset as you're going in and growing and just always growing that going forward.
Yeah, thank you. That's great. And you've kind of alluded to this as like an eagerness to learn and ask questions and dive into the space. But could you define a little bit clearly what to you is a product mindset? What is that?
A product mindset is continually innovating to uncover customers' problems and solve them in a unique and delighting way. So I really want to get to know my customers. I want to know what they're trying to do. I want to understand that. And I really want to bring them along on a journey that's going to solve those problems for them. It's not about delivering features. It's not about moving buttons or changing button colors or anything like that. It's mm-hmm. all about solving their needs and their problems. So if you start talking about needs and problems and how we're going to make it better for them, that's a product mindset of saying, we really want to innovate in the space by improving these specific problems that they have and solutioning around those problems rather than I want to deliver feature A, feature B, and feature C. If somebody comes into a meeting and says, we want to move this from here to here on the screen, or we want to put out this new feature, we want to do that, and they're not providing any kind of what the reasoning is behind it, that's a delivery mindset, or I'm just going to build features, which aren't going to drive the company anywhere. And so that's the mindset you want to get away from a little bit and open it more and say, I want to solve problems. Give me a problem. I want to dig down deep into that problem, and I want to help solve that problem for our customers. That's the product mindset you need to have. Super inquisitive, super willing to understand before you solution. It's also like, I don't like to be just all like roses about product management, right? It's not always the greatest career. I know people who just burn out on it really, really fast. Yeah. Because you go in and say, hey, product management, you're the CEO of your product. No, I'm not. Like, there's a CEO of the company. I can't fire anyone. I'm not hiring anyone. I'm not actually in charge of anybody. I'm just trying mm-hmm. to make things happen without like being in charge of really anything. Mm-hmm. And that can weigh on people just with the stress of it. Because if something goes wrong, it's always the product manager who's kind of thrown under the bus with a lot of the things onto it. So you have to have thick skin. You have to understand what's out there, and what it truly involves. Because the worst thing I'd hate is for somebody to really put a lot of stuff into going into product management and then get in and realize this isn't what I was doing. Mm-hmm. It was. And I've seen that happen. And it's just, it's rough on those people because they just kind of feel like a failure because they thought it was supposed to be this glamorous thing. And sometimes when you first start out, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's rough, it's stressful. And to be honest with you, there's a lot of imposter syndrome with it that you get in.
Oh, yes.
You start working with someone who's like amazing. Like I have people sometimes, I hire someone, I'm like, holy cow, this person's going to take my job because they're insanely good. Yeah. And mm-hmm. you're like, I I don't know where, if I'm like up to that speed. And so that's what's rough about product. I get hit up by people, hey, come join my product manager class, go to these product manager schools, you know, do all these things. I think those are all a waste of money. Like if someone had that on their resume, I wouldn't even look at it. I'd rather like, let's have an interview on that spot, right?
Yeah.
Because if you're just repeating like what you've heard and like, oh, here's my case study that's just A, B, C, D, and I'm going through the like the numbers of it. I want you to have like a good problem solving mind. And that's where I think you guys are helping us to realize here's a whole bunch of different type of product managers. Here's their personalities. Here's how they talk. Here's how they approach problems. And so your listeners can start to say, I need to start talking like that when I'm in these interviews. Yeah.
Well, Billy, thank you. This is, I feel like a masterclass just in general product management, what it is and how to get into it. I've covered so much and so many great insights. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Yes, so good. Thank you so much, Billy.
We hope you found this episode to be helpful. If you did, please subscribe, tell your friends, and give us a 5-star rating. Have a question or feedback? Click the link in the show notes.